Now, undoubtedly, we are ready for this
that
I'm about to speak. Because rarely do I have utterance to say some of the things that I'll say tonight. But the Spirit of God's been dealing with me about it since I've been here. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to get some insight into the realm of the Spirit. And how God operates. And how we can operate in the realm of the Spirit. We're going to talk about such things as the place and part you play in whether you live or whether you die. We talk about the authority of the believer, and we think about that from a sense, you know, of believing God for finances and healing, you know, and taking authority over Satan, and that's well and good. But you have been delegated all authority to control your life and the outcome of your life. And we're going to show you that by I'm going to read some scriptures here because I just couldn't think of any better. And it seemed good to the Holy Ghost. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 6, the Apostle Paul said this, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect." That simply means mature enough to understand it. You understand? "Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing, are not. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Let me stop and make a comment here. He said, "I speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom." Nothing is hidden from God. These mysteries that he's talking about are not mysteries to God. These mysteries are mysteries to us, but God desires to reveal the mysteries of the realm of the Spirit and about our personal lives unto us. And that's what he wants to do tonight. A mystery in God is a sacred secret that can be revealed. A mystery is a sacred secret that can be revealed. Sacred. It's holy. Dad Hagin was one. Dr. Dufresne was one. But especially Dad Hagin. He received many sacred secrets, mysteries from God that brought the body of Christ to where it is today worldwide. Revelations that some had got glimpses of in prior generations in the church age. It came to full manifestation and fruition and operation in this age. Because the mysteries, which are sacred secrets that can be revealed, he spent time with God and God revealed to him things for us in the church. And you may say, "Well, I'm not Brother Hagin." Well, I got news for you. I might be fooling you. I follow him a lot in the middle. You know what I mean? Can I tell on myself? He called me up to speak one time. It's impromptu, and he was known to do that. Most of the time I knew, not every time, but most of the time I know he's going to do it, you know, without him telling me. He said, "Brother Randy," he said, "looks like to me you've gained a little weight." And of course, before I could stop myself, I mean, God and everybody was there, this big audience, you know. This popped right out of my mouth. I said, "Well, Dad," I said, "I'm just following you is all." He like to fell out of his chair laughing, because he knew it was true. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, that fella likes strawberries and ice cream. I guarantee he could eat a bucket full of them things. Oh, he liked it. How did y'all get me into that? Mysteries. Leave the ice cream and strawberries. Come back in here. Mysteries, sacred secrets that can be revealed. In this time, ladies and gentlemen, it is imperative that the church world as a whole, I don't have a corner on the market. I don't know everything. But it's imperative that the sacred secrets that's designed for this generation, for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we receive those mysteries, those sacred secrets, so they're no longer mysteries to the church. We must have the mysteries of God, the sacred secrets, and that's what Paul is talking about. He said, I speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which is not hidden from God, but from us, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. These things will bring us into the fullness of His glory. Thank God for them. And thank God for the things of God. Verse 13, just skipping down for the sake of time. It says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to compare spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14. He said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So God undoubtedly must think that we're mature enough in order to receive some mysteries and talk about some things that may be a little heavy. In fact, it may get you on the idea of being heavenly minded. Somebody said that you can become so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. I don't think I've ever met nobody like that. We need to become heavenly minded. We're going to talk about, again, the operations of the Holy Ghost, how He works, how to operate with Him in prayer, operating with the Holy Ghost, spiritual things. We're talking about spiritual things. How to operate with the Holy Ghost in prayer, how to flow with Him, because He can teach you how to pray, what to say, what to do, how to act in a certain situation. Of course, if He don't say anything to us, if the Holy Ghost don't say nothing to us in a situation, you act on the Word. But you always keep your spiritual antenna up when you're praying and when you're believing God along certain lines, so that in that situation, you'll know what God's will is. So let's start off like this. I was in Alabama preaching a meeting, and on a Monday morning, it was kind of a weekend meeting like this, and this has been quite a few years ago. And I was leaving out on Monday morning, and it wasn't real far. I drove over there. I lived in Columbus, Georgia then. And so I was driving back, and it's about a 3.5 hour drive. But when I got up that morning, this is what I sensed. I sensed death. Now, everybody may not have the same experience because everybody doesn't stand in the same office, but God can show us and reveal anybody to anybody can receive anything from God. You understand? All the gifts are available if we make ourselves to it. So I sensed death. I sensed that somebody was going to die. Talking about spiritual things now. And I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. I said, Lord, what is that? What is that? As I begin to drive home, I'm praying in the Spirit, you know, saying, Lord, what is that? And it's got heavier, if you'll permit me to use that word, just heavier on me. Heavier on me. More weighty on me that somebody was going to die. And I was thinking that it's somebody in my immediate family. I don't know what it is. So by the time I got home, you know, that afternoon and walked in the house, my wife just took one look at me, you know, we've been married for years, and said, honey, what is it? She said, it looks like the Lord's dealing with you about something. I said, well, baby doll, I said, listen here. I said, I sense death. She said, what? What do you mean? Death is not me, is it? I said, I didn't say that. And because she had seen the Lord use me. He had showed me things. He showed me people. I remember one time I was down in the Daytona Beach, Florida area, and I'd went out to eat with a pastor one night. So that's why you shouldn't go out to eat with me anywhere. And it was in an Italian restaurant. The lights were real dim, so you couldn't see the condition of the restaurant. I'm joking. I don't know why they done them that. And you have to get a candle to see the thingamajig, you know. But we was in one of these Italian restaurants, and you pray don't set the place on fire. But anyhow, and then we had to slide in this booth. And so he was my elder, you know, age-wise, and I respected him spiritually too. And so I didn't want him to have to slide into this booth, so I'm going to slide in because it was a round thing, you know, and it was hemmed up on the other end. So I said, well, you know, you can just sit down right here. You know, I slide down. He said, no, you sit down here. I said, no, you sit down. He said, no, you sit down. So I just listened to the elder and I sat down. But he was still talking to me. And so to be polite, you know, instead of just looking down where I'm sliding, I looked up at him. When I looked up at him, I saw a white mask on his face, and I heard these words. He'll fall dead in his pulpit 2 weeks from today, which is on a Sunday, and he did. Oh, you're going out to eat with me tonight. I can just tell you. He did. And I'll not go into the whys, wherefores, and how tos. But I'm just telling you, spiritual things are real. So I was coming from Alabama, got my wife seeing me, and when I walked in the house, and she said, what is it? And I told her, I said, I sense death. That's all I could say. I sense death. I said, how do you sense death? I don't know how to tell you, how to tell you, how to tell you. I'm just know when you get there, you'll know that you know. How does a hound dog smell a rabbit? I don't know, but when he finds it, it's going to jump out of the bush. So I knew I sensed death. And I made it through that day, praying and seeking God, had things to do, papers to sign, you know, office, all that kind of stuff. Letters to respond to that the office helps me with, but I still need to read them and reply and respond, make phone calls. But it was on just heavy. By the time I woke up, I went to bed that night, woke up the next morning, and I couldn't stand it no more. I just knew somebody's going to die, and I thought, well, it may be me. You know what I mean? Because you don't know when these things are. It's a mystery. It's a mystery, but I know it's coming. God's warning me somebody's going to die. And I don't know if it's somebody in my immediate family, something to do with my family, children, whatever. And I said, honey, I can't go to the office today. We had a place, we owned 240 acres out in Georgia, still do today. And I said, I'm going out there to our place. And I had a place that I could go in a house and everything. And I said, I'm going to seek God. Called it my prayer cabin. And I said, don't let the office call me. You don't call me unless it's an emergency. I said, I've got to fast and pray until I pray out the mystery of God. Yeah. What is a mystery? It's a sacred secret that can be revealed, but you can live and die and never know the mystery surrounding your life unless you ask God for it. If you don't ask and don't seek, you will not find. So I got there, and of course, early in the morning, and I started seeking God all that day. And it kept coming up in my spirit about my board member. My board member was only 49 years old. We was real close. He was a Rhema pastor, anointed with God like your pastors are, and the Holy Ghost. Miracles flowed with him like your pastors do and like you do. So there was no shortage in that. But I kept sensing that, but I thought, it can't be. I mean, he would have called me or something. He would have told me something, you know. But it kept coming up, and I just, every time the Holy Ghost was trying to prompt me to bring the mystery out, my mind couldn't grab it. Shut your mind down when you're trying to receive a mystery from God. Yes. Your brain can hinder you sometime. You know what I mean? And I should have followed that prompting that the Spirit of God started giving me within the first 30 minutes of me praying that day. But what happened is, I skipped breakfast, my God. Skipped lunch, my Lord God. And then I skipped supper. Supper's different than dinner. Supper's where you sup, you know what I mean? But I mean, I skipped it all. And I kept having this prompting. And then finally, my wife called, said, I know what it is. I said, what? She said, they've taken Pastor Danny to the hospital. This is the gentleman that kept coming up in my spirit. And they said he'll never come out alive. He had disease in his body that was not caught. No prior warning or nothing. It was a cancerous thing that had just went all through his body. And I said, he's a miracle man. I mean, he believes in miracles. And I said, that's it. That's it. The Lord's been talking to me about it. I said, where's he at? She said, call this number. I called the number and found out that he had him in the Charleston, South Carolina hospital, 6 hours from where I was at by car. And I knew, I said, honey, I'm coming home and I'm getting clothes because this time it's 6, 7 in the evening. And I said, I'm getting clothes and I'm going over there. And when I got home and started packing, I knew I needed clothes for over a week. I don't know how I knew that I knew, but I knew it. I need to take dress clothes and casual clothes, and I need to be ready to go to war. I also realized that I should not break the fast that I was on because I was going to encounter the powers of darkness in this situation. Not that it changes God or changes the devil, but it changed me. Gets me in a better position. So I took off and got to the hospital. Well, most ministers know how to go through the emergency room door, even though it's late at night and the front's closed, you know. So I went through the emergency room door, and I'd already known what floor he was on. So I walked up to the room and walked in, and there stood his son, and there stood his wife, and there stood his mother, and he's laying in the bed. And he was semi-conscious. I mean, you couldn't communicate with him. And they was trying to talk to him. This is late, over in the morning, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock early in the morning. Of course, when I walked in, they expected me to grab him and throw him against the wall like Smith Wigglesworth and command him to live in the name of Jesus. But I did not have the unction and the anointing to do it. I could lay hands on him and pray for him, but I didn't want to pray too quickly. Sometimes you can pray too quickly. Now, you pray according to the word, you believe God, but if you have time to pray, and if you have time to get in the spirit, you may be more effective if you'll just wait. If it's an emergency, get after it like a hound dog after a rabbit. But I knew that I'm not in a condition. I was tired, you know, and I'm kind of worn out from doing all this driving at the night because I'm not a late night person anyway. So I told them, I'd already made arrangements. My office had two to get me a hotel. I knew I was going to be over there sometime, close by the hospital. And so I told him, I said, the family, I said, look, I said, I need to get some rest because I know if I don't, you know, I'm not going to be worth the plug nickel. That's country talk for city folks. You know, spiritually, when it comes to having to fight this thing and pray it out. I said, I will be back at daylight in the morning. I'm going to get me at least a few hours sleep. So I went, checked into the hotel, just got a little few hours of sleep, jumped up, showered the next morning, changed clothes, went back to the hospital, and I walked to the room and he wasn't in there. The room was empty. I thought, oh God, I hope he ain't died in the nighttime. Surely they would have called me. Then the nurse saw me because she knew who I was, this particular lady worked at this hospital because I'd preached over that area quite a bit. And she said, Reverend Greer, she said, you seeking the searching for the Wallace family. I said, yes. Oh, I said, we moved him into a big room. And she kind of pulled me to the side. She said, you know, she said, they're not expecting him to come out alive. And it's sad for Pastor Danny. You know, he's helped so many people, and he had. He had the only what you'd call Word of Faith church in that whole region, you know. You know, it's kind of like coming in here and being in this church, you know, and not belittling anybody else. But I said, okay, so I walked in the door. When I walked in the door, of course, the family is there, all the immediate family, they wouldn't let anybody else come. Of course, church members were there, but they wouldn't let them come in. The hospital wouldn't, because he's so close to death now, is what they said, that he could go any minute, and they didn't want to just, you know, create an atmosphere where it wouldn't be good for him. So all the church members that wanted to come, they're downstairs in the special waiting room that they have. And I mean, they got it packed out, you know. So I walk in, and of course his son, Pastor Jason, who was already helping his daddy in the church and as an associate, but basically running about everything, he looked at me and I could just see on his face, what are we going to do? And I looked at his son, Jeremy, and Jeremy said the same thing, looking at me in his eyes. What are we going to do, Brother Andy? I'd known them since they was knee-high to a grasshopper jumping dishes with soda crackers. And they was wanting me to have a solution, but I didn't have one. I had a mystery, but I knew God had the solution. Amen. A mystery is a sacred secret that can be revealed. Then he had one more son that was bigger than the rest of them. And these guys are muscle-bound. I mean, they can pray the devil out of you and cast him out in Jesus' name or beat the devil out of you. I'm telling you, these boys are big, and they love their daddy. You know what I mean? And he had taught them to fight and don't give up as long as breath is in my body. That's what he had taught them, as long as that way. And he was a fighter too. And I said, and we got around, and I told him, I said, I sense this Monday. I said, I wish you'd have called me, you know, and let me, oh, he said, it's been so chaotic, Brother Andy, it's so chaotic, you know, this going on, we've been just in prayer seeking God. So what are we going to do? I said, we're going to believe God. Why are we going to believe God? Because I didn't know anything else. Do what you know, unless God says go another way. So I knew that God's going to say something. So I went over and I could communicate with Pastor Danny by him squeezing my hand. I would ask him questions. And I said, now, Pastor Danny, I said, I need you to help me. I said, I can't do this by myself. I said, I need you to grab a hold of the horns of the altar in the condition you're in. And I said, I'm going to get it on this side. Me and Jeremy and Jason and your other son, I said, we're going to get a hold to the horns of the altar, and these boys knew how to pray. I'm talking about, they're Holy Ghost boys. And then his daughter-in-laws, all his boys were married, so he had daughter-in-laws, and they knew how to pray. He had taught them. So there was no doubt and unbelief in this room. And we took off like a hound dog after a rabbit. And we're believing God, we're rebuking death, we're claiming healing because that's what the Bible says we can do. But I still got my spiritual antenna up because I wasn't satisfied yet. Because I had sensed death, not life. I had sensed it. Now that was lifting off of me as I was praying. And I had gotten Pastor Danny in agreement with me, and it seemed the weightiness of that death just lifted. And all that day it was glorious. And I had him. I knew we had him. I knew we was going to bring him out of there. Even though they said he was going to die, he was going to live. But at 5 o'clock that evening, I don't know if you've ever been skiing on a boat or anything, got an inboard, outboard boat. It's been, had it for years, paid for, taken care of, you know. But sometimes my son would be behind the boat and he'd be wet, you know, coming up out of a kneeboarding or something like that. And I'd reach over to pull him up and he'd be slippery. And if he didn't have a good grip, he could slip and poof, fall back in the water. I don't know if he ever had any waterfalls or not. But that's exactly the experience I had spiritually with Pastor Danny at 5 p.m. on that day, Wednesday. He fell back and I said out of my mouth, not where the family could hear it, but I said to the Lord, Danny's not helping me, Lord. I just lost him. Oh my God. I just lost him. You can pick up things in the spirit, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, in the spirit, your head may not understand it, but when you get in the spirit, you can pick up things. And I knew I had lost him, just like you'd lose somebody trying to pull them up in the boat and they slip back. And I knew that I was going to have to get alone to talk to God. So I just opened the door of the hospital room, walked down the corridor, walked, got down the elevator, went down, got my car, and went to the hotel. Didn't say a word to the family. Why? Because I knew that there would be pressure, because they would have known that God said something to me. And they want a right now answer. Well, I didn't have one. It's a mystery. But a mystery is a sacred secret that can be revealed. All I know is I lost him. And I thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? These boys are believing in me, you know, and they've seen God use me, and they've seen this miraculous things happen, and they've seen it in their daddy's ministry. And he taught them faith, and this is a faith church. And here's the pastor at 49 years old. They said, I'll never walk out of the hospital. So I got to the hotel room. I put a little instrumental music on my computer, you know. And I began to pray, and I knelt down on the floor and put my head between my knees and began to weep before God. And I said, God, I'd already broken, you know, from it all. You know, tender, it's a better way to put it. Tender before the Lord, just open to him. I said, Lord, you got to tell me about Pastor Danny. Lord, I've lost him. He's not helping me. As long as he was helping me from the other side, I could help him. But I couldn't make him do anything. It had to get him in agreement, as I was soon about to find out. So I started praying in the spirit, and within 15 to 20 minutes, I got the answer to the mystery. The Spirit of God spoke to me, and this is what he said. The word of the Lord came to me. He said, according to divine destiny and based on present circumstances, Danny is going to die. I said, what, Lord? He said, according to divine destiny and based on present circumstances, Danny is going to die. He's too young to die. He's only 49 years old. He said, son, what you don't know, he said, he's got a glimpse of my glory while he's been in this situation. And because he's got a glimpse of my glory, unknown to you, for about a year now, he's been preparing to come and be with me. Nobody knew. But we was going to look back, and at his funeral, which I preached, which we'll get to in a moment, we saw signposts all the way up, just like you would drive down the road looking for the road numbers to go somewhere. And I said, Lord, what do you mean? He said, Pastor Danny has got a glimpse of my glory. And he said, he's decided that he wants to come to heaven and be with me. And he said, son, he's going to come because of something, because of divine destiny. I said, now, Lord, I said, you know, I've never heard that before. What do you mean, divine destiny? What are you talking about? This is the mystery, sacred secret that can be revealed. Get this mystery. Divine destiny is the right of choice that every human being has when they're born in this earth. You are in charge of your destiny, not God. Somebody said, God is going to come and take them. No, he's not. You're going to go because you want to. Brother Hagin said, if you hear that I'm gone, you know I got satisfied. In other words, he ain't going to go till he got ready. You're in charge of it. But it's another thing we need to learn here. Sometimes when people are in situations we cannot communicate with them, we don't know what they're thinking. We don't know what they're believing. We don't know their wants and desires. It has to be revealed to us. It was a mystery. And he said this. He said, because he's made the choice to come and be in heaven with me, he said, that's why, and this is what the Lord told me, no amount of fasting or prayer will change his situation. He said, nor will the gifts of my spirit go into operation in his behalf, because he's requested to me that it not be so. For in this day, the mysteries of God will be revealed, because it is my will. It is my plan that my people understand and walk in the things of the Spirit and listen to my voice, and I'll lead you into this place, and it will be by my grace. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us, the church, to walk on out into the Spirit. Dad Hagin used to talk about that he had a fear because he would get so far out in the Spirit. And he actually feared, this is his own words, that he would get so far out that he couldn't come back. Now, I've been in that place twice, where I was so in the Spirit, and I was in the Spirit this way for over a week. I could not speak in English. I could not function hardly at all, but I'm in the Spirit. And I'm more conscious and aware of that realm than I am this realm. Dad Hagin used to have those experiences, but you sometimes draw back from that because the flesh kind of recoils, because you get into a place of the unknown out there. And I'm not talking about spooky, goofy things. I'm talking about the truth. You can pray and believe God. So I said, okay, Lord. And also, when he told me about divine destiny, he didn't say this, but a revelation word of knowledge came to me at the same time. You know what I'm talking about? The word of the Lord came to me, audible, but in the same time, it encapsulated a word of knowledge. And this was a word of knowledge. I realized in that moment that God has never sent any human being to hell. Now, people go to hell. Nor will he ever send anybody to hell. If somebody goes to hell, it'll be because that they bypassed the cross when Jesus was standing on the hill of Golgotha. God will never send anybody to hell. They will go there of their own free will and volition. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, not human beings. But if you choose to go to hell, God himself cannot stop you. That's why this church has been set here. It's a beacon and a light to this community. It's a stop sign on the road to hell. You are a stop sign on the road to hell. We need to be open to the Spirit of God, and we need to be bold in this day, because there's a lot of people. I don't want to say this, but I'm telling you, judgment is coming on this nation. And it's coming in the church, it's coming in the government, and it's coming in the leadership of the church. And this is not for the faint of heart. But people better get their lives in order. And if you're prompted to speak to somebody, I'm not saying you got to be obnoxious, but don't disobey the voice of the Spirit of God. Because there are people that's got one foot on earth and the next foot they got almost in hell right now. And they need help. I mean, not somebody to badger them and beat them. They need somebody to love them. But some people just flat need to be shocked into reality. You know what I mean? Because there is a real hell. But the devil has tried to portray even to the church world that there's no such thing, but there is. But God, I saw in that revelation that God does not send people to hell. They go there against the will of God. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Now, God set spiritual laws in motion, but he can't violate his laws to take somebody to heaven that doesn't obey them. Isn't that right? But it's not God setting up with a pitchfork, throwing people into hell. God is love. He'll deal with people. I mean, up till they take their last breath, he'll deal with them. Trying to woo them in. He'll send people along their path and tell them. He'll send churches along their path. He'll send witnesses across their path because he loves them to stop them from going to hell, but still it's up to them. So I realized it became revelation to me. I got that revelation because I really had never thought about it a whole lot till then. So in this prayer time at the hotel, I really began to weep and cry because I was thinking, what in the world now are we going to do? What am I going to do? This church, these people, a large church too. I said, Lord, like this church, you know, good pastor, wonderful people, faith people. And the Lord said, this is what you're going to do. He said, you're going to be asked to preach the sermon. And he said, this is what you share with the church. And he gave me a sermon and told me exactly what to say, how to say it, illustrations so the people could get it. And he said, the church is not going to fall. He said, it's going to grow. And believe it or not, it has. In fact, from that church has now come another church. Another church. There's two churches that come out of that one. You know, there's one there, then the next one. But it's amazing what God did. So I said, now, Lord, what do I do now? He said, I want you to go back to the hospital and tell the family they need to release him and let him go, because he's made that choice. Then he reminded me of what Dad Hagin taught me, Dr. Kenneth Hagin. I call him Dad Hagin just simply as a term of endearment, not disrespect, but high honor and great respect. But he taught us this, and it's true, and I've witnessed it. There's such a thing in death as the gates of death and the jaws of death. When somebody goes through the jaws of death, it's hard on everybody. But when people are released at the right time, and I know it's hard to release loved ones. It is. It's hard. I've been there. Buried my little sister and my little brother. Preached their funerals. Preached my daddy's funeral. I released him. My grandmama's funeral. Released her. Been hanging on to my mama. Said, you ain't going nowhere. Anytime she starts talking about lumbago, mybago, winnebago, getting her, I said, it ain't going to none of it get you. You're going to be all right. I love my mama, you know. And she's a good, strong tower in our family, you know. She said, you're going to go up there and tell them to release Pastor Danny and let him go. I said, Lord, I'm not going to do that. I said, Jason, whoop me. And Jeremy, whew, he'll sure enough get on me. Because, Jeremy was the closest one to his daddy, you know. I don't know how that all worked out, but that's kind of the way it was. It was real close. I said, he'll whoop me. And I said, if he don't, then he will. Oh, God. I said, them some big old boys, they've ate a lot of beans and cornbread. I'll tell you the truth about it. And they loved their daddy. He said, son, you remember what Dad Hagin taught you about the gates of death and jaws of death? He said, it's better to talk to him and tell him to let him come on. It'll be easier on the family. It'd be easier on the church, even though it don't seem like it. But prolonging it's going to make it worse. I said, Lord, when have I got to go right now? He said, you can go when you want to. I said, now you sure with that? Is it all right with you? Can I wait? I'm going to put it off as long as I can. You know what I mean? I said, well, what if you think about if I just go back first thing in the morning, don't go tonight, because I want a time to think about this and maybe even pack my bags and leave, you know? So I want to stand in the prophet's office. Oh, yeah, when you start delivering messages like this to family members. No, you don't. I'm telling you, oh, boy. So I got up early the next morning, daylight, and I'm back at the hospital and walk in the room. And when I opened the door, Ginger, his wife, was standing to my right. She said, I've been waiting for you to come back all night long. What did the Lord tell you? I said, oh, Miss Ginger, everything's going to be all right. I didn't say Pastor Danny's going to be all right. She said, no, I know you. And it's only like the ladies can do. She had daggers and swords in her eyes. I'm telling you, tell me what the Holy Ghost said to you. I know you. You wouldn't just walk out of this room. You've never done anything like that without saying something to us. She said, God spoke to you. And I tried to put it off again. You know what I mean? My heart's a beating. My hands are, palms are sweaty, you know. I said, oh, Miss Ginger, everything's going to be right. She said, you are not telling me everything. You're going to tell me. I said, please tell me, Randy. When she said that, I mean, just the love of God and compassion came on me, and I began to cry. Because I didn't want to tell her. That's her husband. That's all she, he's only 49. She's 48. My God, you don't want to tell somebody that. I said, well, Miss Ginger, and I've been knowing her for years. I said, let's you and I go out here at the nurse's station. And I said, let's sit down and talk privately. She said, okay. And of course, Jason and Jeremy and the others are standing there eyeballing me, you know. And I knew they was ready to flock in there on me. So I went out and I asked the nurse if there's a place that we could sit there with them, because she's a lady, so as a minister, I should be with her by myself, because it don't look right, even though there is this situation. And if it hadn't been a place and I had to go to a room, I would ask a nurse or somebody to go in there with me. That's wisdom that Pastor taught me. You know what I mean? Here. So not that, we're, you know, in a situation you wouldn't even think about that, but still, you don't want to put yourself in a situation where somebody thinks something, you know. So we sat there at the nurse's station in a little cubicle type area and talked. And I told her, and she began to cry. She said, I knew it. I knew it. She said, you know what Danny's been doing lately? She said, I started to call you. She said, but I thought he was losing his mind. I said, well, what's he been doing? You could have called me. She said, I know it. She said, I know you and Patty, but she said, I didn't want to believe it. I didn't want to see it. She said, he would ask me these questions. He'd say, you see that man standing over there? Of course, there wasn't nobody there. He said, no, Danny, there ain't nobody standing over. He said, yeah, there's two fellas standing right there. He said, Danny, there ain't nobody standing over there. He said, oh, yes, there is, Ginger. She said, well, who is it? He said, it's two angels. He said, what are they doing? He said, they're waiting on me. But she didn't put two and two together, you know. She didn't know. And this went on for about 2 weeks. And then, you know, I'd been told her everything. She's telling me these stories. And she said, you know, something else strange happened. Remember I said for about a year he'd been preparing to go? In his spirit. How do you know these things? I don't know. It's mysteries. And then all of a sudden he's attacked with this disease and boom, he knows how to believe God. She said, one day we were just sitting. You know, he said he likes to eat buttered popcorn, and he did. And watch him a cartoon or Roy Rogers or somebody, you know. And he said, we were sitting in our family room, just relaxing, one Friday evening about a year ago. She said, he said the strangest thing to me. I said, what? He said, Ginger, he said, when I die, he said, I want Brother Randy to preach my funeral. 47 years old about then. You know what I mean? What are you talking about death for? Watch what you say.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Watch what you say. So Ginger said, well, okay, Randy, we got to go back in the room and we got to tell my boys and my daughter-in-law. I said, oh, God, Miss Ginger, I know it. I said, but I don't want to just tell you boys. I said, I want to tell Mr. Bobby and Miss Wallace. Mr. Bobby was Danny's daddy, who I knew well. He was a very wealthy, wealthy man. And he got saved later. He was a hard, tough, rough character, you know. And he'd got saved. He's still a little rough around the edges. Still today, he is. But God needs rough folks, I guess, every now and then. I don't know. But he would never come in the room and pray with us. Mr. Bobby, Danny's daddy. Now, his mama, she was there around the clock, believing God. She knew how to pray, you know. She prayed him into the ministry. Thank God for good mamas, you know. Thank you, mama, for praying for us. Amen. Granny, brothers and sisters, thank you for praying for us. Or we'd be gone already. And so I said, we need to get Mr. Bobby Wallace in. That's Danny's daddy. Of course, Miss Wallace is already there. And so she said, well, let's go tell the family and we'll do it. And so we walked in the door and Ginger spoke up, you know, that's his wife, and said, Randy, he's got something he needs to talk to us about. Miss Wallace, Randy's got something he needs to talk to us about. And so she kind of looked at me and I said, well, the Lord spoke to me last night. I said, I left here about 5. And I said, went and prayed. And I said, the Lord showed me something about your daddy talking to the boys. And I said, but before I can say what the Lord said, the Lord told me to get Mr. Bobby Wallace here. I said, can we send somebody to go get him? Of course, he's in the hospital. You know, he won't leave the hospital. But he wouldn't come in the room and pray. I mean, he'd pop his head in, but he just wouldn't pray with us. I didn't know why. I didn't put no pressure on him, you know. And so Jeremy shot out of the room like a shot out of a gun, you know, and he went because he wanted to hear what the Lord said. And it went long, within 5 minutes, maybe 10 at the most. Here they come in, and Mr. Bobby Wallace is standing over there, and all the families gathered around the bed, the immediate family, you know, his three boys and their wives, and then his wife, Ginger, and then his mom and daddy and myself. So I'm standing on one side of the bed. I'd be actually standing on the north side. Most of the family was standing on the south side, the opposite side of the bed. And Mr. Bobby's kind of standing in the back in the shadows. And I said, last night I left here, and I said, I began to pray because I sensed that your daddy, talking to the boys, I was looking at them eyeball to eyeball. Of course, they're weeping and crying. They know something's coming. And I said, I sensed I lost your daddy in prayer at 5 o'clock yesterday, and that's why I walked out. I said, I didn't have the heart to tell you. And I said, I really didn't know. It was a mystery to me. So I went, and I said, I've been seeking God, and the Lord told me, according to divine destiny and based on present circumstances, your daddy is going to heaven. I didn't say die because that's kind of a hard word. You know what I mean? You try to use words wisely, especially in situations like that. Your daddy's going to heaven. Of course, boy, I ain't let my daddy go nowhere. His mama, I mean, she was like, she's ready to kill me, you know, his mama. And them boys, I thought they're going to come across and from the south and rejoin the north and reconnect with me. My God, and just whoop this preacher right up in the midst of here and it'll be over. And I said, listen, I said, this is not a decision I made. And I said, I know you don't understand it now, but you just got to trust me. I said, may God reveal it to you. I said, your daddy made this decision. I said, why he made the decision. Now, later on, we found out why, but I can't tell you why. That's private and personal. But your daddy has made this decision. I said, it's not God. I said, it's not the devil. And it's not sickness and disease. It's your daddy's choice. And when I said that, Mr. Bobby Wallace, his daddy, let out a blood-curdling scream. I mean, ah! He said, I knew he was going to die. I knew his daddy knew he was going to die. He said, that's why I couldn't come and pray. And he ran out of the hospital room and running down the hall just hollering. And his daddy was a sane man. But that's his baby. That's his baby. I'm still mama's baby, 260 pounds, 6'4". If you don't believe it, just ask her. I'm her baby. You're always mama's baby. Don't matter how big you are. And that was daddy's baby, too. Oh, and you're talking about, oh. And they're fixing to step out into eternity, and there, their son is fixing to go. So I shot out of the room like a shot because I knew that nobody else could handle Mr. Bobby, no grandson especially. When he's like a bull in a china shop, when he said his mind is going to happen, he was like E.F. Hutton in the family. When he spoke, you sat down. Even the rats went to sleep when he stood up. If he said, shut up, everybody hunkered down. My God, you didn't move. He was the boss. And he was a good giving man, though, don't get me wrong. And he still is. He's still kicking today. So I caught up with him going down the corridor, you know, and he was going down the, he was just out of his mind, kind of, you know, not literally, but he don't know what to do. He can't accept this because he'd always been able to fix everything, but he couldn't fix this. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to deal with it as a man. He'd fixed everything, every problem in his family. For many people, not just his family, but now he couldn't fix this. He didn't know how to deal with it. So I caught up with him. And of course, he was kind of pushing me off, but I just grabbed him. I was taller than he was. And I just hugged him. I said, Mr. Bobby, I said, you know I'm here. And I said, I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to help your family. And I'm going to help his children. And I said, Danny, and I can't tell you that part. But I had an experience where he was in the spirit. And he come to me in the spirit before he left this earth. And I said, Mr. Bobby, I said, this is going to be all right. And this is what he told me. And so he broke down. And all the emotion, all the pent-up emotion come out. And he just wept and sobbed. And he would have collapsed in the floor if I hadn't held him up. But it came out. It took him about 15 minutes or so. And I'm just consoling him and hugging him and telling him I love him. And I'm with you, Mr. Bobby. I said, I don't know what I would do if it was my son. I don't know. I've never been in this shape. I'm not going to lie to you. Don't know. It'd be hard to handle. And suddenly he just straightened up, stood as tall as he could. He said, you know Danny knew God. I said, I know that, Mr. Wallace. And he said, I'm just wanted Danny to tell me. I said, I know, Mr. Wallace. I said, but the Lord showed me he's reached the point of no return. Because I'd asked the Lord about it. I didn't share it with you earlier. I said, Lord, there's no way that I can help Pastor Danny. He said, no, because he's reached the point of no return. I said, you mean there's nothing I can do? He said, there's one thing. I said, what's that? He said, you've got to get him out of that coma and get him to agree with you. And he said, then you can help him. He said, but he has reached the point of no return. His physical body had so shut down, and just from Monday to here we are now on this Thursday morning, his body had so shut down that he couldn't communicate in the physical world any longer. And I said, Mr. Bobby, don't you want to tell him goodbye? Oh, and he began to cry again. He said, you know I do. He said, you going to be with me? I said, yes, Mr. Bobby. I'll be right there. I said, I'll show you how to do it. I've had a lot of experience. Oh, my God. I've buried a lot of people in our family. I don't know why it falls my lot. Got another brother that marries everybody, and I bury everybody, so don't come to me. You need somebody to guide you over to the other side when you reach the Jordan, so to speak. Old-timers talk. You need a good pastor like you got. And people here that's been trained to help lead you to that side. Because he can go on over. So I got him back to the room. Of course, everybody's squalling, you know, when we got there. And of course, we talked, and his boys had calmed down some by then, you know. And Mr. Bobby, he kind of spoke up and told the boys, now, boys, said, you listen to Brother Randy. You know, he knows God, and he's been knowing you since you was a little boy, and he loves your daddy just as much as you do. And he don't want to let him go, and they knew that. We'd spent a lot of time together, done all kind of stuff. He'd stayed with me, I stayed with him. We went hunting together. We all kind of stuff, you know, all kind of things over the years. And he said he wouldn't lie to you. And he said, even though you don't understand it, He said, we need to tell him goodbye. And they said, well, how do we do that? I said, I'll show you. I said, just gather around the bed here, you know. And I got up on the head again on the north side. And his head's right here. Of course, he can't communicate. And I said, Pastor Danny, I said, you know and I know that you called me over here. That's another mystery that I can't talk about. That you called me over here. And I promised you when you talked to me then that I would take care of your family, your church, and help your sons grow up in life. And I would be a daddy to them. And I said, I just want to reaffirm that. I want to let you know that Miss Ginger, your wife's going to be all right. Your church is going to be all right. And I give you permission to go to heaven. Of course, I'm squalling. I could hardly talk, you know. But I'm squalling. Tears running down my cheeks. Everybody there, you could imagine. And I said, you can go on home. I said, I know you've made that decision. Everything's going to be all right. It's like he took a deep breath. The weight lifted. He needed to hear it. His spirit is there. You know what I mean? His spirit's alive unto God. And you can communicate with the spirit. So I was dealing with his spirit, not with his physical man. Right. Sometimes you can minister to the spirit of a person, but you can't minister to the physical part. Even in sickness. That's another message. But you can do it. Amen. So I told him, you know, that. And they seen how it was done. So Jason, he's the oldest, the son. He begins to tell his daddy goodbye. And how much he loved him and how much he appreciated him. Oh, it just break your heart. My Lord Jesus, you know. And he gets to squalling. He's a big old strapping fella, you know. Didn't ever cry for nothing, you know. And his wife told him goodbye. And then the next son and his daughter and then the next daughter-in-law. And then the next son and then his wife, you know, their daughter-in-law. And then it come around to Ginger and his wife, because that's the immediate family. You know, I was just showing them how to do it. And then she started talking to Danny and, you know, rubbing his hand and rubbing his forehead and kissing him on the cheek and telling him how much she loved him. But she was going to release him. I know that you want to go to heaven, Danny. And I'm not going to hold you here. We're going to see you again, Danny. Don't you worry. Relax. The boys are going to be all right. Randy's going to help us. Just like he's already told you, because everybody's squalling. Then here comes his daddy. Oh, my God. And his daddy began to tell his son goodbye. And how it's going to be all right. He said, anything your family needs, Danny. He said, I got the money. Don't worry about it. And he did. Because he believed in working and earning it, too. He didn't just give it. You know, he taught principles, work ethic, that kind of thing. He was good at that, still is today. He said, but they will never lack for anything as long as I'm on this planet. And even after I'm gone, I'll provide for them. And he said, I hate to see you leave like this. And I wish you'd have told me personally, but I still love you. Daddy loves you, son. That's what he told him. And he said, you can go on to be with Jesus if that's what you want. So the last one that's left is Miss Wallace. That's his mama. So she's standing straight across from me, and he's right here, laying on the hospital bed. You know, his head's elevated. And I looked up like as a cue that you're next. And when I looked up and saw her, it was like fire was in her eyes. She was angry. She said, this is my baby, and I am not going to let him go. She said, I fought for him all his life. I prayed for where he is at today, and I can't let him go. I said, okay, Miss Wallace. I said, we're not going to force you to do anything. I said, I just told you what would be best under the circumstances, but I'll be right here with you, Miss Wallace. And that's the way you got to deal with these situations. You don't put pressure on people. And so she said, I've got to go pray alone. So she left. And for most of that day, all that day, I didn't see her because I stepped out for lunch and she came in. And then later that night, she came back, but she didn't say anything. She was just praying. Of course, everybody's looking at her. And we're still praying in the spirit and everything like that. But everybody accepted he was going. And so the next morning when I got back from the hotel because I went and got some sleep because, you know, this has been a quiet ordeal. And I walked into the out of the hotel, back in the hospital, walked in the room, and there was Miss Wallace. She said, "Honey," I said, "Yes, Miss Wallace." She just grabbed me and hugged me. I've been in her house, ate her cornbread and biscuits. She said, "You're like a son to me." I said, "I know it, Miss Wallace. You're like a mama to me." She said, "I apologize if I sounded hard. Just," I said, "don't even think about it." I said, "I understand it. If that was my baby, I'd be worse than you." She said, "But I prayed all day and into the night. And God said it's best if I let him come home." She said, "It's the hardest thing that I've ever done in my life. Randy, how do you bury your baby? How do you release your baby?" I said, "Miss Wallace, I hadn't been there. I don't know how I can do it either." I said, "But I'm here to help you." She said, "Well, come on, hold my hand." And I did. She gathered the family, and Miss Ginger got on one side. The boys got on the other side, and she began to talk to him. Oh, God. Oh, you talking about a heart-rending mama. Oh, he finally, she talked about 30 minutes and said what she wanted to say, told him goodbye, and told him, "It's all right, Danny. If you want to go, I wish you'd have told me." That's what she said, like Mr. Bobby. "I wish you'd have told me, but I'm not mad at you. You can go home." So we stood back, and within a matter of 20 minutes, he took his last breath, and the angels escorted him up into heaven. Heaven is real, ladies and gentlemen. The things of God are real. You are in charge of your destiny. We need to think about these things, meditate on these things, and line our life up with the Word of God and be open to the Spirit of God in situations. Now, I want to close by telling you one more better story. That's kind of heavy. Yes, we need these things. It makes you think about the spirit realm and what's going on and how God's interconnected and working with everything on earth if we'll just open ourselves to Him. But let me tell you about my daddy. My daddy made the decision that he was going to heaven. And I had seen this about a year and a half before he was going. There was no physical reason why, no medical reason why, that my daddy should go to heaven. But I told Mother one day, because I was sitting in Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin's meeting out yonder in, it was at one of the seminars at the campus, you know. And Dad Hagin said this, stopped, and he said some things. It spoke directly to my spirit. I knew he was talking to me, and the Lord had already been dealing with me about my daddy, and go and tell my daddy if he wanted to go to heaven, he could, that I'd take care of my mama and my brother and everybody, you know. And I thought, what am I? That's crazy. A mystery is a sacred secret that can be revealed. Here my daddy is healthy as a bull moose, you know, and everything, and I'm supposed to go release my daddy. Well, my daddy was a very quiet man. He didn't talk a lot. I mean, you could be in and all the family jumping in, the grandkids hopping over everything and throwing stuff and all that, and daddy just be looking. One of the grandkids may crawl up and be slap, you know, and he'd play with them and kiss on them or something, and they'd jump back down and run and get a piece of cornbread. You know what I mean? Because at grandmama's house, you can do anything. Almost. And they'll help you in it, ain't they? Usually. They'll help you. Mama ain't here. Hallelujah, you know. So daddy was quiet. But he was a praying man. He had a sixth grade education, but he knew the Holy Ghost. They took knowledge of Peter, James, and John. They said they're unlearned and ignorant men. They took knowledge of them because they knew that they had been with the Lord. When you're with the Lord, that is your education. I'm here to tell you. Know the things of the Spirit. So I come and I talked to my mother first because I knew she didn't want to hear things like this. I said, "Mother," I said, "I believe Daddy wants to go to heaven." "You're crazy just like your daddy is." I said, "Daddy's crazy." She said, "Yeah, he's been crazy ever since I married him." "Tell the truth." "Stubborn. He's stubborn. He wants his way all the time." And I said, I think he's fixing to get it again. He wants to go to heaven. And I said, I need to go talk to him. I said, do you want to go with me? I'm not going. I'm not. She loved him, you know. I'm not going. I said, well, if you don't want to go, I'm going. Well, I'm going. I want to hear what you tell him. You know, it's telegraph, telephone, and tell a woman. Yeah, excuse me, ladies. Excuse me. I didn't come up with that. Brother Hagin did. You know what I mean? These ladies, they can get something. They don't want to know what's going on right here. They want the details. Us men don't care. We just grunt every now and then. You know what I mean? But the ladies want the details. So mama wanted the details. So I walked in, and I started talking to daddy. And I said, daddy, I said, and he didn't, you know, don't say a lot. I said, I believe that, you know, you done got so close to that rim over there. Because I'd seen my daddy get lost in the spirit. I'm talking about just lost. There is such a thing as getting lost in the spirit that we're coming to in this generation. That previous generations have known. But it's been lost to us. Some of the things we call the spirit, I don't want to get too far. It's sometimes just the interaction of the soul, what we think is God. But there is a real place Amen. Where you can yield to God, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. I mean, totally. Amen. I've been in this place. Amen. My daddy could get there the quickest, you know, because he prayed so much. And I said, daddy, I sense that you want to go home to be with the Lord. And I said, I want to let you know I'll take care of mama. And that, you know, Ray will help too. He's very disciplined, my oldest brother. Couldn't depend on many of my other siblings, but at least we had a little bit of sense. I said, we'll take care of mama. She'll be all right if that's your decision. And of course, daddy just sat there and looked at me. Didn't say a word. Mama squalling. He said, you know, I have been praying. But that's all he said. My dad's a very quiet man. When he spoke, you just listened. He didn't waste his breath. He's from the old school, you know. That's the way his daddy was. My Pawpaw Greer was that way. My daddy was short, but Pawpaw Greer was 6'8". So we got our height from him, you know, our Pawpaw. So I said, daddy, I just sense you want to go home, and I'm not trying to rush you. I said, I want to keep you around here because he helped me. He was tremendous help with me in my life and everything. I didn't want to see him go nowhere, but I knew it, that the Lord wanted me to do it. And so everything is fine, and we forgot all about it. 2 years went by. Approximately 2 years. And then one morning, because I'd been out of town, one morning my mother called and said, your daddy just went home to be with Jesus. I said, what? I said, he didn't tell me he was going. I said, what happened? She said, well, you know how crazy he is. What she meant by crazy, he operated in the spirit more than the natural, and people didn't understand him. Even her sometimes. But he was in the spirit. He said, Francis, I love you. He said, but my time on earth is over. He said, I'm 69 years old, and he said, I'm still a young man. And he was. He said, but there's preparation for the world to come that I got to be trained for. It's in your Bible. There's a world to come. All the education is not here. If you don't get it here, you're going to get it there. Amen. I know. All of us have had the dream. And we've seen the picture of the naked baby with the angel's wings over Granny's fireplace. But you're not going to be a naked baby with angel's wings when you get to heaven. You're a spirit being. You possess a soul. You live in a body. And you're going to have a body over there like Jesus. And any training you didn't get here, you're going to get it there. So you might as well just get after it. Amen. When pastor says hunker down, just hunker down. Amen. I mean, just get it because he's going to get us ready. Amen. And she said, Hubert. His name was Donald Hubert. Hubert, you crazy. You out of your mind. What do you mean? He said, in the morning, he said, daddy's coming. That's my Papa Greer. He's done gone to heaven. He said, granny's coming. That's my granny, you know. She's done gone. Said, Jesus is coming to meet me. And he said, I'm going to heaven. She said, Hubert, you're crazy. In the middle of the night, my daddy was a deep sleeper, early riser, went to bed early. He went to bed with the chickens and got up with the chickens. When a rooster crowed, he was there to make sure he was sitting on the post to crow. You know what I mean? Daddy sat up in the bed, which is very strange, and he started singing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's the way the old timers used to sing it. We changed that word a little bit, you know. Then he would break in that chorus. Hallelujah. He couldn't carry a tune in a number two washtub. But he didn't care. He would make a joyful noise to the Lord. And he got happy and he started laughing in the spirit. I mean just laughing and laughing and laughing in the spirit. And he got to clapping his hands too, laughing. And he said, there they are. There they are. He said, there's Daddy. He said, there's Granny. He said, there's Jesus. Goodbye. And his body laid back on the bed. And my daddy went to heaven. Don't make me get up a load tonight. My God, heaven is real. But I said that to say this. You are in charge of your destiny. You can make some decisions and choices right here on this earth. Ladies and gentlemen, you can make some decisions and choices. You can believe God. God wants to work with you. The Holy Ghost wants to work with you. I would encourage you. Spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Spend time praying with your understanding. Amen. Become acquainted with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Become acquainted with God, and you will begin to be used by God as He reveals to you these mysteries, which are sacred secrets that can be revealed. They're for all of us. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of this water of life freely. It belongs to you and it belongs to me. You don't have to put up with all the things that you've been putting up with. God has got an answer to every question that you have. He's got a solution to every problem that you're facing. But you could live and die and never know what it is unless you take time to get that mystery, sacred secret revealed unto you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our finest hour. This is our finest day, and I know this has been kind of heavy tonight, but I was putting it off. I put it off as long as I could while I was here, but I had to get it out before I left, and the Lord wanted me to encourage you along this line, and I'm telling you, you mature enough to handle this, or the Lord wouldn't let me share it, amen? And I'm telling you the truth, we're going on with the things of God, and nothing is going to stop us, and nothing is going to stop you, because we are in our finest hour. Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know you were blessed by this message. If you would like to receive more information about Randall Greer Ministries, or if you'd like to receive our free newsletter, just let us know. We'd be happy to send it to you. Just write us at Randall Greer Ministries, P.O. Box 2227. Owosso, Oklahoma 74055. Or you can contact us at our website www.rgm.me. And remember, God is always with us.